All right, Keem Dent, we're going to start with the rewind. You went to Douglas High School here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. You had a 3.4 GPA, so education is important to you.
Oh, yeah.
You even went to a summer camp, and you told the kids, look, school is cool. Mm-hmm. Now, I know kids hear it from parents and coaches all the time, but how about from you? Why do you think kids need to really focus on academics?
For me, I feel like it's real important. You know, especially, you know, growing up here in Atlanta in inner city, you know, where, you know, we really don't have a lot of things that, you know, other schools and things like that may have. But for me to go out and, you know, try to get a message across to kids, you know, just telling them that, you know, I mean, it's cool to have an education. It's cool to, you know, pay attention to, you know, the teachers and the things that they have going on, and they're trying to persuade you. I mean, it's a necessity in life, you know, because everything else education builds a foundation.
Mm-hmm. So during your freshman year at Douglas High School here in Atlanta, you were trying out for the football team as a freshman. You were probably really athletic and probably bigger than most freshmen, but you got cut. You got cut from the high school team, and then you made it your sole focus that next year you were going to make the team.
Mm-hmm.
And you did. And here you are now going into your sophomore season in the NFL. I mean, clearly you overcame some obstacles and you did some mental adjustments.
Of course.
How did you overcome that? What, being cut from your high school team, what did that teach you? What did you learn?
For me, you know, going into high school, you know, middle school, I had a pretty, you know, pretty solid football background coming up and things like that. But going into high school, you know, I went out, actually tried out for the team and, you know, fell short, you know. And, you know, but for me, I had a real good support system around me, you know, and with my family. My mom, she's real big support system, and my uncles and my sisters, you know, everyone kind of told me the story of Michael Jordan. You know, Michael Jordan was, he didn't make the team his freshman year and stuff like that. And that, and, you know, I used to think to myself, you know, I mean, well, you know, I'm not Michael Jordan, you know, but as a kid, you see Michael Jordan doing all these great things. But for me, you know, I had to take a step back and look at myself, you know, do I really want to do this? Do I really want to pursue, you know, these sports or the goals that I have set out for myself? So, you know, it was basically my support system and the people that was surrounding me, you know, kind of kept pushing me and kept pushing me forward. And, you know, it all worked out for me.
Let's fast forward a bit to your college years. Mm-hmm. You went to UGA, University of Georgia, here, right up the road in Athens. Challenging academic curriculum and obviously a standout on the football team. You spent your years with Coach Richt there, and you've had some success during your collegiate experience. Whether it was your professors or peers or maybe a coach, Coach Richt, or another coach, your linebacker coach at UGA, is there something that during that time in your life was an impetus for you becoming the best that you can be, a message or a lesson learned from someone?
I would say, you know, just being around Coach Richt, you know, he's a real good guy, you know, a God-fearing man. I mean, he's great. You know, we used to have these character ed meetings. We would do, you know, once a week, and you know, just something for Coach Richt to, you know, kind of instill in us. You know, he was a great father figure, you know. We always saw that. So he kind of wanted us to try to build our character, you know, and just help us see the bright side of things. So, you know, one thing I would say Coach Richt, you know, taught me throughout my career at Georgia, you know, was to always maintain good character, you know, because it's just like your first impression is a lasting impression, you know. Mm-hmm. So I mean, one thing I wanna always try to uphold good character.
And it shows. I remember you coming in as a rookie, and you didn't have an attitude. You were just a humble, hardworking guy. Yeah. So obviously, those philosophies have been instilled in you, and I know that's why you had a great rookie year, and you're gonna have a great second year too. One game in, and you're just getting rolling. We're going to fast forward a bit here. We're going to go in between the lines now.
Mm-hmm.
You're in your second season in the NFL. You had a great year, your first year on special teams, major contributor. And now you're starting at middle linebacker for the Falcons, and you've had some great mentors. And I'm talking about vets. You have a guy like Mike Peterson, mm-hmm. who's been in the NFL for 15 years. Before he was hurt, Lofa-Tutupu was here. Mm-hmm. And so what has that meant to you to have some of those guys who have been in this league and who have done it? What has that meant to you as far as your erudition and education within this league?
For me, that's been a big part. You know, just having, you know, this summer working with, being able to work with Lofa. You know, one thing he kind of told me, you know, just whatever you're doing, just always, you know, have confidence. You know, going into the season, you know, you're the middle linebacker. And you have to have confidence going in. You know, you want the other 10 guys on the field to, you know that if no one's, you know, if they needed someone to look up to or look to, you know, when everyone else is tired, you know, you have to be that guy. You know, and mm-hmm. also having Mike Peterson. I mean, you don't be around, you don't last in the league 15 years for no reason, you know. But, you know, he's been a big help to me, you know, when it comes to going into the film room, you know, just trying to making sure I'm understanding, you know, the concept of the defense and, you know, my fits and pass coverages and things like that. You know, he's a knowledgeable guy, and he wants me to go out and be able to make big plays.
You had a big test last week. It was your first career start in the NFL against Kansas City Chiefs. Mm. Did you have people get in your ear, whether it was family or your coaches or some of the veterans? Did you hear anything, or did you maintain a certain state of mind that helped keep you in the moment, keep you focused, didn't let fear set in, anxiety set in? What kind of emotions did you go through, and what did you learn from that experience?
For me, you know, I was real excited. You know, first NFL start, you know, of my career. I was real excited, but you know, I couldn't let, you know, that kind of couldn't let it be shown, you know. Mm-hmm. But for me, you know, it was real big that, you know, I didn't have guys in my ear a whole lot, you know. It's your first NFL start, and, you know, what are you gonna do? And my family, you know, they're real laid back. So they weren't, you know, asking, oh, are you ready? And, you know, stuff like that. They just kind of let me figure my way through. And like for me, you know, I just figure you get out, you know, whatever you put in, that's what you get out, you know. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, going in, just knowing that I had to prepare. Go in and watch the extra film, come in and, you know, get my body right, you know, get in the cold tub and hot tub and make sure I'm doing just the small things to be prepared for the game on Sunday.
So a big challenge comes up, big test, big game. Mm-hmm. If you're prepared, you'll be all right.
Yeah, one thing you always hear, preparation meets opportunity.
Mm-hmm. So growing up a local guy here in Atlanta, mm-hmm. one of the guys you looked up to most for the Falcons is the legendary Jesse Tuggle. And 2 years ago in April on draft day, there he was on the podium, and he calls your name to be drafted by the Atlanta Falcons, your Atlanta Falcons. It must have been a surreal experience. So maybe talk about that, and what do you respect most about a guy like Jesse Tuggle?
I mean, for me, you know, a lifelong dream. You know, every kid wants to grow up and, you know, play for their hometown football team, you know. But I mean, for it to actually happen, you know, it was surreal, you know. Just being in the house, being, you know, surrounded by my family members and things like that, you know, and, you know, just watching the NFL draft and, you know, next Jesse Tuggle, you know, the hammer comes up mm-hmm. to the podium and calls my name, you know. And I mean, it's unreal, you know. I mean, at the moment it was real exciting, and you know, I actually had the chance to meet Jesse Tuggle last year. We actually had him on the show Deep Block, you know, and you know, he was able to come in and, you know, he actually, you know, gave him a couple of words of encouragement, just telling me to make sure, you know, I'm getting prepared and I'm focusing on, you know, the task at hand, you know. And He's a guy. He can probably still run around out there on the field a little bit. But I mean, I respect a guy like that, a man that can come in, you know, and try to, you know, older guy that's been through it, and you know, just kind of give me words of wisdom. Mm-hmm.
We're gonna go inside the mind now, inside the mind of a champion, mm-hmm. and this is really where I think we can impact some of today's youth. Growing up you've had to overcome adversity. You've had odds stacked against you. You were probably always the underdog, mm-hmm. right? You've had to overcome injuries. You were cut from your high school team as a freshman. And today's youth face a lot of adversity, and they have mm-hmm. to overcome a lot of obstacles and challenges also.
Yeah.
What sort of words of encouragement can you give to our youth about perseverance, about overcoming that adversity yeah. that we spoke about earlier?
You know, always feel, don't let anyone tell you that you can't do anything. You know, can't is just a small word, you know. Always set goals out for yourself that you want to accomplish, you know, and look forward to those goals. Make a vision, you know, see it through, you know. Don't let anyone, you know, cross your path or step on your toes or, you know, try to steer your path from accomplishing what you want to accomplish.
When it comes to sacrifice, I mean, to achieve goals mm-hmm. and achieve those goals that you've set for yourself, and I'm sure you have more. You're yeah. not finished getting to where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts about sacrifice? Are there certain things that you have to give up, certain yeah. people that you can't hang around when it comes to the pursuit of your dreams?
Exactly. It's crazy that we use the word sacrifice. That's, you know, I have a couple of tattoos and things like that, but I have the word sacrifice, you know, tattooed across my chest, you know.
Because why is that? Why did you put it there?
Basically, you know, growing up, you know, I had to make decisions. You know, was I going to run with this crowd of people, or was I going to go off and hang with the other crowd? You know, mm-hmm. or was I going to I'm just going to sit at home tonight. I'm not going to go out. I'm going to sit here. I need to study for this test tomorrow. And mm-hmm. I'm not going to step out and do this or do that, you know. And, you know, sacrifice is a great word, you know, in itself, you know, because there comes a time in everybody's life where you have to make sacrifices. You have to, if you want to get where you want to go, you know, it's going to be some things or some nights or some opportunities that may come up that you're not going to be able to go and do this thing or do that thing if you want to get to where you want to go.
Is staying positive a big part of it? I mean, not getting down and, you know, you talked about maybe not hanging around certain types mm-hmm. of people, or what have you done to help you stay in the right state of mind? Do you read certain types of books, or what types of things do you do to keep a positive state of mind?
You know, for me, you know, it comes with the kind of with the people, you know, mm-hmm. I surround myself with, mm-hmm. you know, from my family members, you know, they always call, and, you know, we may talk 5-10 minutes, we may talk 30 minutes, you know, but it's always positive energy around me, you know, mm-hmm. even here in the locker room, you know, guys, Sean Weatherspoon, always, Mike Peterson, all those guys always, you know, excited. You know, even when we go out to the practice fields, it's exciting just to be around, mm-hmm. you know, people that are positive, you know,
right.
because you have positive people around you, you know, you're going to be a positive person as well. And, you know, you're going to feed off their positive energy and also give positive energy back. You know, if you have people that are around you that are negative all the time, then, you know, it starts to nip at you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it even goes with Coach Smith had us read a book, The Energy Bus. You know, and they call those, you know, the negative people energy vampires. So you want to kind of kick those guys off the bus, you know.
Mm-hmm. What is Akeem Dent's favorite word?
Determined.
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 What's your least favorite word?
Can't.
What's a sound or a noise that you love?
That I love?
Mm-hmm.
It would have to be the sound of just cooking. From my aunt. She's a heck of a cook. You know, it's just you know, when I hear, you know, her in there,
that
pots and pans,
popping,
it's just like, all right. It's
salivating,
it's,
man.
It's going
salivating
down.
Right now.
Yeah.
What's a sound or a noise that you hate?
Anything that's nagging is just like a screeching noise or I don't know, just just something that's not always just shrieking. Repetitive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything that's just real repetitive all the time.
Okay. Favorite book?
I would have to say the Energy Bus. It's really got up there to my liking.
If you could trade places with any one person for 1 week, mm-hmm. alive or dead, real or fictional, past, present, future, with whom would you trade?
It would have to be a CEO of a major company. Just because the fact that, I was saying earlier, I wanted to, have my own business and mm-hmm. things like that. So I would probably get to see the ins and outs of a guy like Donald Trump or something.
Oh, yeah. With better hair, though.
Yeah. Right?
If you were a superhero, what would be, maybe you are, Batman coming out of nowhere. What would you want your one superpower to be?
Oh, man, one superpower. I would want to do something. I would want to be invisible.
I like that. Yeah, me too.
It would be something different, but even when if I was going to, save this person or that person, the bad guys come along, it was just on and off. Now you see me, now you don't.
Yeah. All right. Last thing, Akeem, before we go. In three words, describe Akeem Dent.
Just loyal, trustworthy, and hardworking.